Praise the Lord, church. It is so, so great to be here. Let's just worship Him this evening. Lord, we thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and for Your grace. Lord, where would we be? Where would we be, Lord Jesus? Praise God. Praise God. Thank You so very much for coming out on this nice, beautiful, cool evening. And it's going to get colder, so those of you that have been wanting winter, it's here. I talked to before service. Sister Martha Chernikowski was asking me if I liked the weather. You could be seated. And I said, well, it's not quite cold enough yet. And I like it when it's penguin cold, you know. Or so cold your car won't start and you don't have to go to work. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's so great to be here tonight. It's so great to have Sister Poole here. And it's just an honor to have her here this evening. And it's also great to have the Jansen family, Brother Jansen from Waupun, pastors in Waupun and Watertown. If you're a guest of ours, it is so great to have you here. We have connection cards, and they're out in the vestibule. We have a kiosk out there. And tonight, I believe it is Sister Nancy Gomez is on duty tonight, and she has one of these little green cards that if you have not been here before, would love to have you fill one of those out and just get connected with you. And Pastor Phil will give you a call, and thank you for coming and all those good things. We have some giving options as well. Also, there's a gift. I believe they have a small gift. I'm not for sure what the gift is this week. It might be a trip to, I don't know, the Bahamas or someplace warm. Who knows? I'm just kidding, okay? Everybody would run. I'm a guest tonight, right? there's some giving options, and those are on the screen behind me. And you can, we have different ways you can give. You can give online, you can give in person, you can give by mail, or we have a new mobile app. And we're encouraging folks from if you have your smartphones, to get involved in the mobile app. There's a lot of neat things coming up that we're going to be introducing over the next few months that will be you'll be able to take and access via your mobile app. So you'll be able to take and chat with your friends and all this cool stuff that's on the way. So those are giving options. Tomorrow we have a four-week Bible study, the Dominion Bible Study. Pastor Jerry Simmons is our men's pastor. And Brother Jerry, if you don't mind just lifting a hand over there. Down here on the front, he's over our men's ministry and our outreach here at Calvary Gospel Church, and there's going to be joining in the conference room right across from the vestibule. It's just right across the hallway there, and it will be tomorrow at 7 p.m. It'll be a four-week Bible study, so if you'd like to be involved in that, you can contact Brother Jerry Simmons. Then also we have this Friday night. Here at the church, we have PI, which is a Bible school, excuse me, Bible school. A lot of folks would go to, we have within our denomination or organization, we have Bible schools kind of scattered all over the country. But then we have, if you would like to go to Bible school, but you can't actually go to college, doesn't fit into your time and your schedule and your budget and all of that kind of stuff. We have PI, which is we house a once-a-month Bible school here at Calvary Gospel Church. So Friday evening, we'll be having a class. I will actually be teaching a class on leadership and be some of the, not your typical leadership class as like a John Maxwell-type leadership, but talking about some of the pitfalls, perhaps, maybe would be a better way to put it that way. And so that will be on Friday night, and then we have full classes here on Saturday. I believe Brother Simmons is teaching on the epistles, so that would be one of the classes. Brother Caskey, I'm not for sure if he's on this, he'll be teaching as well. So we've got some great teaching. If you want to just show up for the Friday evening class, that is a no-charge class, so there's no charge to that. And you're welcome. Anyone that would like to take and further their leadership skills and such, you're welcome to be there. So that'll be this Friday and Saturday. Next Thursday through Friday, Thursday and Friday, would be our midwinter camp. We have three of these, and the one that was for our section 3, That will be in Oak Creek, so you're welcome to attend that. Those are the speakers, Brother Tony, Brother Jackson, and Brother Booker, which is our district superintendent. So feel free to attend that. And then Sunday, January 30th, we are doing a series right now on Sunday morning. It's called Simply Church, or just Simple Church, and we're talking about Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And you are all welcome to come to our connection fair, and that will be after our service. We'll have a shortened service on that Sunday morning, and there's going to be snacks and such and food available for you in the fellowship hall. So that will be on January 30th. So with that, that's kind of our schedule coming up for the next few weeks. And continue to pray, if you could all stand. We're going to continue to pray. We still have a number of folks that are suffering from various illnesses and such that's going around. It's great to have some of you back, to see some of you that are recovering from some of these illnesses. So let's just pray for the service tonight, and then pray also for each other, that if you know someone that's not feeling well or is not here tonight because they're not feeling well, feel free to mention their name in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here to worship with my brothers and my sisters in fellowship. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon Sister Poole tonight, Lord, as she brings and shares her burden with her, with us. We also ask you, Lord, for all those brothers and sisters. There's so many that are, so many families that are affected by so many different flus, sicknesses, COVID, and all of this. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that you would continue to heal and continue to protect. Lord, we thank you so very much. We thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. We ask you, Lord, to bless this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you. You can feel free to be seated or continue to stand, and we're going to go into a little bit of worship here. God bless you.
My God, how great you are, how great. thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so worthy, God. You are great, Jesus.
You have an interpretation if God is speaking to you. Don't be afraid. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands this evening. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. This is not to be sound scolding, okay? This is just your pastor talking. We have a series that will be our next series where I'm going to be talking about gifts of the Spirit. And we are very familiar with the gift of tongues and interpretation. And a lot of times, we have, as our congregation, we've had a lot of folks that were used in these gifts that have moved and have retired and such. And these are gifts that are not always instantly replaced, okay? So we're going to talk about some of this coming up because I believe God continues to want to speak to us. And I think sometimes it's just we're fearful. And we're not quite for sure, is this God or is this just something else talking? So we're going to cover some of those things. So when God desires to use us, we can be used with confidence that this is God speaking to us. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. It's a process, something that we learn. It's not something that we're born with. It's not something we put an ad in the paper or put an ad on Facebook and say, hey, we need some interpreters. That's not how it works. Something that we grow into, and it's a process that as God uses us. It is so great to have Sister Poole here tonight. And you can be seated. And just going to quick explain, she has a video she's going to bring, and then she's going to speak to us. Normally we would take an offering. Because we have kind of shifted things around because of COVID. A lot of our giving now and such is online. But if you would like to take and support in any way, if you'd like to support monthly or any of her projects, she's going to share some of these things with us. I will come up at the very end and kind of close things up if she would like for me to. And we'll kind of cover some of these things at the end. But if you feel God moving on your heart and such, please feel free. We want to take and be a blessing to her and their ministry there in Lesotho. She'll explain more. I hope I'm saying that's right. No. And you know the way us English are. We just Texans. We just mess everything up. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. We did it too, so. Praise God. Well, thank you, Pastor Grant, for having us. Me. Turn this around here. It's great to be in Madison. Amen. With my family. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when we're seeking after the Lord, repenting, being baptized in His name, filled with His Spirit, and walking with Him, we're family. Amen. Amen. Just want to give you a little bit of a background. I was baptized at 20 years old in a home missions work in Connecticut back in 1983. So yeah, you guys can, folks who like math can go ahead and calculate. I don't care about my age. It doesn't matter. But our only visiting ministers were missionaries. And so we had them about 2 to 4 times a year. And it was always so exciting. I got to see some slides way back in the day, and now we get to see some video. We get to hear about the country and maybe learn a song or learn a phrase in their language. And it was always a very exciting time. And one came and spoke about the importance of Bible schools. And I just became convinced, absolutely, that Bible schools are the best way to reach a nation because they can eat their foods when you train the nationals, and they can go out and reach their people. They can eat the foods. They know the culture. They know the language. And they can live on the field a whole lot cheaper than we can. Amen. So whenever we were praying for the missionaries, I was praying for the Bible schools. Amen. And if they didn't have one, I pray the Lord would put one there. I was praying for the staff. I was praying for the teachers, praying for the students, that the Lord would bring forth, send forth laborers into his field. Amen. Never dreamed I'd be standing behind a podium in a Bible school in West Africa. Amen. But I'm going ahead of myself. I requested an AIM application. Associate in Missions is the short-term missions program. Now they've added a few more below and above. But back then it was just Associate in Missions. And we could go for anywhere from 2 months to a year. And I looked at that when I got it in the mail, and I said, well, I can answer the information questions real good, you know, name, address, how long have you had the Holy Ghost, who's your pastor, all those good things. But there were two questions that kind of got my goat, and I couldn't really go any further. And one was, where do you feel a burden to go to? I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, every missionary I've seen, it's like, I kind of want to go there, you know. And then the second question was, what can you contribute to the field? What can you do there? What's your skill set? You know, and I'm like, I push a buggy at Hallmark Cards Distribution Center. You know, I pack cards and roll wrap and gift items for the stores to be able to sell. And I'm like, that doesn't really translate. But we did have, I was a part of a home missions work, and so I was involved in church because, you know, every person is important when you've got only a small handful. But I just didn't have the confidence to say, yes, I can do this over here. And so I just took it, I looked at the application, I said, well, Lord, you know. And I put it in my file. Not file 13, but, you know, in my personal file. And I just waited on the Lord. So I had gone to music conference in Jackson College of Ministries and met my future husband there. He was going to school there, and he was an old man on campus because he had spent 8 years in the military before going to Bible college. Amen. And so I was a little bit older also, and so the second year that I went, the first year he didn't want to have anything to do with me, didn't want a long-distance relationship. You know, he just finished one of those and knew he had another year to go. So, but the second time I went down, we dated for the week, and at the end of the week, he said, how do you feel about going to the mission field? And I said, take me away. I have an AIM application in my file. Just didn't know where to go or what I would do, but I could certainly go as a minister's wife and find something, you know. And I guess I scared him off because instead of coming back to Connecticut, where he was also from, he went down to Louisiana. And but he did come around, and the following year we were married. And a year and a half after that, we went to Nigeria, West Africa. And, of course, we were involved in ministerial training, teaching in the Bible school, evangelism. And I also worked in the print shop, doing quality control, bookkeeping, and editing, all of which were raw materials that the Lord had given me as a child. But when I got on the field, I was able to just hone those out, and he put them to good use. Amen. When we were in Cameroon, we moved on to Cameroon. Later on, fully appointed, and we were also teaching the Bible school there. My husband became the principal, and he was also working with the national board, trying to teach them how to be a board and make decisions. And, of course, I was not there for those meetings, but I got to hear and learn about what he was doing there because he always came home and let me know all about it. Amen. But we resigned, and we were off the field for 17 years after coming back from Cameroon. We raised our two girls, pastored in West Virginia. Our youngest was in college in her junior year, and we looked at each other and said, it's time to go back to Africa, because it's still burned in our hearts. We just had to take this detour, but now it was time to go back. And so they asked us to go to Lesotho on a short-term missions trip. They needed a Bible school, and they needed a missionary to be there very quickly. And so we did that, and we were short-term, and we went supposed to go for 12 months. We ended up on going for 13, and we'll mention that when we look at the video. But we came home. We were appointed as career missionaries. We started deputation in September of 2020, and we were traveling last April. We got COVID, both of us, and I lost my husband at the end of May. The Lord decided to take him home. And we don't understand sometimes, but God is still good. Amen. My husband's where we all want to be. Amen. He just made it there a little bit ahead of us. Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. We'll clap hands. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We each stand before God as individuals. We don't stand before God with our husband or wife or children or parents, but we stand before God as an individual. And we need to be responsible. We're going to have to answer to him for how we've lived our life, the life that he gave us. Amen. And I thank God that my dad raised me to be independent, to be an individual. He helped me to learn how to take care of myself, just in case I never got married. And he taught all five of his kids, four of which were girls, how to change our tire and change our oil. And since I was 27 when I got married and I'd moved out of the house when I was 20, I did that. And I changed my oil. In fact, I asked the Lord, said, Lord, you know, either give me a mechanic, please, or give me someone who's not worried about letting his wife change her oil. Because I couldn't stand the thought of paying for somebody else to do what I could do. Amen. And so the Lord gave me both. Praise the Lord. And he did let me change my oil for a little while. And then I'm like, you know what? That's okay. You can do it. And thankfully, though, my husband did allow me also to be an individual and be independent. And I actually did some cross-country driving quite often without him. We had to divide and conquer. And so one time we came home from Cameroon, and we had been traveling on deputation for just a little bit, and the Lord blessed us with some extra funds, and we were able to buy a little car to pull behind our RV. And for some reason, he needed to stay in Louisiana, and I had to drive this car to Connecticut, presumably to visit family, with my 7 and 4-year-old in a car that we had just purchased a couple days before, but it was from a good friend who was a used car salesman, and a very good friend, brother in the church, awesome guy. So we really had no big qualms about doing this. And I took my two girls and I drove that car all the way to Connecticut by myself. Did one just last year, just before we got COVID, and then did a fly, drove halfway through the country, drove halfway back and flew again, met up with him and rode in the RV again out to Oregon. So, and this kind of feels the same. You know, I drive from church to church to church, you know, holding services, and from one state to another state, holding services to raise support. And this kind of feels the same. You know, I've left my husband. Actually, he left me, but kind of feels like another time where I've left him, and I'm driving, and I'm going on a trip, and I'll reunite with him eventually, you know, down the road. And that's true. Amen, because I plan on going where he is. Amen. I want to be with Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. But we both worked as a team. We both shared the burden for the work. And I know the people in Lesotho. I know the needs. I know the challenges. I'm learning the language. And Jesus is still with me. Amen. Amen. And so I'm able and looking forward to going back to Lesotho to fulfill our vision for the country. And of course, even more so, I'm looking forward to heaven. See my husband as a fellow saint of God, But most important, I'll see Jesus and be together forever with him. Amen. We're looking forward to that day. But while we're still here, we want to continue working for the Lord. And so we want to show you our video, what we have been doing and what we intend to do in the country of Lesotho. Booming you hear in the background is a blow-up pillow. You blow it up and they beat on it.
At the bottom of Africa, there's a small country completely surrounded by South Africa. It has a population of just over 2 million and is smaller than the state of Maryland. With 80% of the country being mountainous, it is often called the Mountain Kingdom or the Kingdom in the Sky. This is Lesotho. Lesotho is a land of incredible beauty and wonder, but it's considered to be one of the least developed countries in the world today. Over 40% live in poverty, living in huts made of stone, mud, and straw. Herding and agriculture are main sources of income, but the church is alive.
How did this church grow into the place? How did this church be transformed
in Amen. The Basutu people are joyful and vibrant. Every church service is a celebration with singing and dancing. Through preaching and teaching, the people are coming to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are seeking after him and being filled with his spirit. The church in Lesotho is rising up in boldness as they spread the gospel in their country. We are training our young ministers in doctrine and how to help others seek after God. The children are learning about their Heavenly Father and of how much He loves them.
Singing, when we leave this world, we're going to heaven. Lesotho is suffering a drought for a few years. The pastors are not able to baptize their people. And so we had a convention in December 2019. And we told them, bring your candidates for baptism, and we'll do it on Sunday morning. And so each pastor baptized his own folks. And praise the Lord, within a month, we had rain. And there's no more drought in Lesotho. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were supposed to be in Lesotho for only 12 months. We got stuck there because of COVID lockdown, and so we had to spend an extra month there. But the Lord knows what he's doing, because during that extra month, we were able to baptize our language teacher and her daughter in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
We are so excited to be a part of the revival that is happening in the kingdom of Lesotho.
Truly, the harvest is ready and the Lesotho people are hungry for God.
As missionaries to the country of Lesotho, our top priority is to build a training facility that will teach the nationals a fivefold ministry so that they can reach future generations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was admonishing Timothy to duplicate his ministry when he said to him, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Lesotho needs national ministers who are well equipped as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who know the culture, the language, and best how to reach their own communities.
When we shared our vision to build and run a Bible college in the country of Lesotho, the Lesotho people were so excited. They're looking forward to the opportunity to see God move in mighty ways in the country of Lesotho.
We would be thrilled for your support as we continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people and the kingdom of Lesotho.
Odima plohono lafatse.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I'm happy to report that the Bible school funds have been raised. And so if you'd join with me in prayer that we find a good property to put it in the capital city of Maseru, that will be very, very helpful. Also, we need airfare and shipping to get there and do the work. And also, I need some more language study to learn Lesotho. It's pretty tough. They're plurals. Go on the beginning of the word instead of the end of the word. And depending on the word, they can add something to it, a syllable, or they can drop the first syllable and pop a different one in there. And they can do that a few different ways. So just that is challenging. Everybody says, oh, it's easy. It's easy to learn Lesotho. They don't have so many words. But on the other side, we have to remember that these five different words that are different to us, they only have one word for that. And so it is a challenge. We have project offering forms out there on the table. We also have some business cards, so you're welcome to take one of those. And also, I could definitely use some more partners. In fact, I need 47 more partners at $50 a month, and then I can go back to Lesotho. Scheduled through May of this year. And at that point, I will have been gone for 2 years. And they need their missionary. Amen. And maybe you want to go. I need builders and Bible school teachers and evangelists to encourage the churches. Go ahead and get with your pastor. Go to globalmissions.com and see what all there is available to you. I wish they had that when I was a kid, a young person. It would have been a whole lot easier. And I might have got there a little bit sooner. Amen. But I want to teach you a Lesotho song before we get into the word. So if you would stand up. It's not an action song, so you don't have to worry about that. Just want to kind of get the blood flowing. Been sitting for a little while. Amen. It's a very simple song in English. It says, "My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, my Lord." In Lesotho, it's Muya Waka Uriye, 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 Muya Waka Uriye, Uriye, Morena. And it's slow, so you don't have to worry about trying to keep up. We'll sing it twice in English, twice as Lesotho, and then twice in English again. And if you're not comfortable with Lesotho, sing it in English. That's all right. That's what we did for quite a while. But it's just important that we reach and touch the Lord. Amen. This evening. My soul says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, my Lord. My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, says yes, my Lord. Muya waka urie, urie, urie. Muya waka urie, urie, morena. Muya waka urie, urie, urie. Muya waka urie, urie, morena. My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, says yes, my Lord. My soul says yes, says yes, says yes. My soul says yes, says yes, my Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we say yes to you today. Oh, Lord God, we yield unto your spirit, O Lord Jesus, and we worship you, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you want to do that offering now or later? Okay. All right. In the pool missionary tradition, we're going to give you the word of God, just a short word, because we don't want him to work just all the way, halfway across the world, but we want the Lord to do something right here. Amen. In Madison. Amen. Tonight. So if you would turn in your Bibles to John 9, verse 4. That's John chapter 9 and verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Pastor, if you would pray for me. Amen. You may be seated. So my husband and I were both born in Maine and raised in Connecticut. And I was raised as a good Catholic. I went to church every Sunday, even on vacation. And I just, how come my Catholic friends don't have to do that? You know, they take a vacation from church too. But I learned pretty quick that that wasn't going to work. And, you know, that's how the Mancarella family lived their life. Amen. And I'm very thankful for the foundation of respect for the things of God that I learned there. Amen. But I was still a sinner. I was not baptized, fully immersed in the only saving name of Jesus. And in God's eyes, there's really no such thing as a good sinner. But our parents raised us with a good work ethic. My dad said, that's what kids are for. And remember, I said he had five of them. So we took out the trash, we did the dishes, we raked the leaves, we shoveled the snow. Just whatever was needed, he put us all to work. Amen. And our parents both taught us, don't quit, fulfill your obligation, put forth your best effort. And when I met Jesus, I discovered the same thing in the Word of God. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, work ethic served me well in school and band. I moved up and I became a leader somehow in there. I ended up in the honor society my junior and senior year. And I looked around and I said, what am I doing here? These people are smarter than me. But then I realized, I think after I got out of school, I found out, oh, so it's more than just academics. They were looking at, somehow they found out that when I got into high school, I was helping the elementary school band. I just went down there and decided, you know, I'm going to help these folks out. I enjoy that. And then when I had played softball on a town team from fourth grade through eighth. When I got into high school, I tried out for the high school team, and I made it. And then I found out I'd have to give up band in order to stay there. So I'm like, no, that's not happening. So I went back to my town team coach, and I said, I would love to be able to help you coach. And so she made me an assistant coach. And so I just kept doing that thing. And I'm just, you know, living my life, but I got recognized for that. In work, I moved up the ladder, and I was always recognized for my efforts there. And in church, when someone witnessed to me, told me about Jesus and God's word, I came out of the world, and I obeyed Acts 2:38. And because of my childhood training, I got busy. I cleaned bathrooms, taught Sunday school, taught Bible studies, music department I was involved in, kids' plays, I knocked doors, just whatever the pastor needed me to do. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus answered his parents who had been looking for him. And he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And in Luke 7, 21 and 22, it says, "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus, answering, said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached." This was also his Father's business. And he told his disciples in John 9:4 that we read at the beginning, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The night cometh. We're in the end times. Soon the time to work in the kingdom is going to be gone. And we must be about the Father's business. We must work the works of God. He gave us the Spirit to be witnesses unto him. In Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We were saved and filled with his Spirit first to spend eternity with our Creator and Savior. Amen. And then also to be a witness to others. I'm going to a foreign land, and you can do that. But you can be a witness right here in Madison. We can tell someone about Jesus and reach out to them. You know, sometimes we're so closed, it would seem like that we're very open since we have all this social media, Facebook, Instagram, all these things. But really, many of us hide behind a facade. You know, and we'll put up our best face. We'll make a good show. You know, Thanksgiving, we took pictures of the holiday spread, or Christmas, you know, all this food. And we take pictures of the family, sometimes all dressed up in the same outfit, you know, matching clothes and smiling faces. We don't see the dirty dishes in the sink that it took to put that meal out there. We don't see pictures of somebody coming out first thing in the morning with their hair all, you know, they got bed hair. And, you know, I'm not saying I want to see that, but that's kind of the way it is. You know, we put forth our best face. And most of the time we talk only to our friends, whether in person or on social media. But we need to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. If you're stuck in there, we need to break out of there. Amen. In that home missions church that I grew up in at 20 years old and forward, we used to have testimony service, you know, and I sat on my hands. I was not going to stand up and have everybody looking at me. I wanted to be a fly on the wall and just listen to everybody and glean and learn. The Lord has a great sense of humor, doesn't he? Because he took that person and changed her so where I can feel somewhat comfortable and I'm not shaking in my boots and just scared to death being up here. And I was talking to Pastor Sabolchi in Illinois, and I mentioned that you have to be a willing participant. He's not going to just take you and change you around. Even when Paul met the Lord on the way to Damascus, he still had to do something. He wasn't just changed. But the Lord told him, go into Damascus, you'll find so-and-so, and you're going to do some things. But so he had to do that. He could have turned around and gone back to Jerusalem. But he was a willing participant when he met the Lord. Amen. And that's what we need to do, at least. I was teaching a ladies' Bible study with our church ladies in Lesotho. And it was winding down. The materials that I had were finishing up. And I decided that I wanted to ask my library friend that you saw the picture of getting baptized. I asked her if she would be willing to have a Bible study at her work during the lunch break, you know, and she said, yes, that would be great. I'll gather some of my colleagues, and we would love to do that. And so we set a date and a time, and I walked up there, up the steps, all those steps, and kind of, you know, I still have a little bit of that, you know, reservedness. I was going to be meeting a bunch of people that I didn't know. Only one person was going to be there that I was familiar with. But when I got there, it was just my friend and one other person. And that other person was really struggling. There was something going on. Her face was very, you could tell that something was on her heart, on her mind. And I realized that it was not time for a Bible study. And so I said, let's just pray. And so me and my friend, we went over there and we laid hands on her, prayed. The Spirit of God filled that room so sweetly. And she was ministered to. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the day when I can go back and continue that Bible study and see her saved and many others. Amen. Amen. But I'm not perfect. I was at a store a few months ago, and I was going to try on some clothes. I went out and went into the back, and there was one lady there, and we greeted each other. She greeted me fine and went into the stall and tried my clothes on, and then I came out, and I asked her if I could go ahead and leave my clothes there and go do something else, and she said yes. And so, but that whole time, I'm thinking, she greeted me okay, but something's not right. It seems like something's going on. You know, something is burdening her. But when I came back, I collected my clothes, and I looked at her, and I said, have a good night. And I turned around and I left. And I just wonder, even to this day, what would have happened if I just reached out and said, are you okay? And she could have said, oh, yeah, I'm fine, you know, and then we could have, I would have done my part, and I could go. But she could have said, you know, I'm really not, you know, this is going on, or this is happening, or I don't feel good, you know, and I could have at least said, you know, can I pray for you? I know how to pray. I know how to touch God, and that's all I have to do is pray and let the Lord do what he's going to do. And then I could have left. We just need to obey the Spirit. When we feel that tug, when we hear that voice, just go ahead and step out of your comfort zone. It's okay. That's all we have to do is one step. And then we can take another step. And then we can take another step. And it's amazing what we can see the Lord do when we obey him. Amen. And leave the results to him. Amen. Now let's stand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor drunkards. I'm going to stick with mine, sorry. I'm trying to follow that and I can't do it. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That means me too. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Amen. This describes our culture now. People who are just like some of us were. It described me, even though I thought I was a good person. Let's reach them with the gospel. Let's see them transformed by the power of God. Submit your will to His and allow the Lord to work through you to see others saved, to have the same experience that we have. Amen. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's pray. These altars are open, or pray at your seat. Ask Jesus to lead us to a hungry soul, to open our eyes to someone who may be hurting or confused or drowning in sin. Let's reach out to them and show them the love of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we look unto you, O God.
Use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Praise the Lord, church. Before we leave here this evening, I just want to thank you so very much, Sister Poole, for ministering to us in such an awesome way. Thank you. We've been talking a lot about stepping out, reaching our world, reaching those people. We always talk about reaching our world, and the Lord's just asking us to just talk to the people that are right around us. That's how we reach the world. But Sister Poole has some, she's raising some funds for airfare, for shipping, for language study. And then there's started a memorial in honor of her husband, Robert. And we would like to take and support her, take her on as a partner in missions, but then also help her with some of these projects that she has. If any of you feel a special burden to help in any of these areas, feel free to talk with Sister Jessica Rivest in our office, and she'll take and make sure that everything is taken care of as far as if you'd like to turn an offering in, a check, or however you would like to do that, and we will get these funds forwarded on to Sister Poole. But thank you so very much. And before we leave tonight, if you could just come down here to the, I don't know. This is not like just emotional for sympathy, okay? I don't know what it'd be like to have to continue on in ministry after the loss of a spouse. If you ever wanted an excuse or a reason to just say, I don't have to do this anymore, Sister Poole has an excuse or a reason. And nobody would question that. But God has called her on a mission. And I like how she put it, that someday I'm going to stand before God and be accountable for what you've called me to do. We're all going to be church. We all are going to stand before God. You're not going to stand there on my behalf, and I'm not going to stand there on your behalf. You're going to stand there alone. Alone in front of God, and God's going to say, how come? And when you have an excuse, say, well, I couldn't, Lord, because of this or this or this, I really feel God is going to call people out of the audience and say, well, wait a minute. She did it. She did it. Why couldn't you do it? She continued. She continued. Was it easy? No. So before Sister Poole leaves tonight, I just want our ladies to gather in and our men to gather in. And let's just pray. I don't know if she's still traveling in her motorhome. I haven't had a chance to ask, but I would hate to have to travel the country in a motorhome, towing it and all. Let's pray for our sister tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for my sister. God, I can't imagine how hard it would be, Lord, the difficulty, but God, you are with her. And I pray, God, that you anoint her, that you use her, God, in a mighty, mighty, powerful way. God, you have a work that you are seeking to do through her life. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be with her. God, that you would raise her the funds that she needs in a speedy fashion. God, that she would find favor everywhere she goes, that the Holy Ghost would be with her, comfort her, God, her family, her daughters, children, Lord God. I ask you, God, to keep her safe, out of harm's way. Keep her healthy, Lord God, that she can continue and complete what you have called them to do. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for her life. Thank you, Lord God, for the ministry that she shared with us tonight, Lord. God, we have so much work, Lord, and it is getting dark, darker and darker, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so very much for coming out. Continue to pray for Sister Poole and pray for all of our. We have so many brothers and sisters, so many families that are affected by COVID, and the numbers just keep not growing necessarily, but you could kind of see it slowly working its way through the congregation. And we just continue to pray, especially for our elderly. Some of them have been hit pretty hard. But God bless you. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much, Sister Poole, for ministering to us tonight. And God bless you. Once again, if you'd like to give, just make sure you get that check in. You can do it the various ways that we had mentioned, and we'll get this on to Sister Poole. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Abby, tonight for leading us in worship. Thank you. Good to see Brother Sister Jansen. Make sure shake their hands. And God bless you, folks. Good to see Brother and Sister Caskey back, our elder. They are down for a little bit with COVID, number of weeks. Good to see you back. God bless you.